Hi, and welcome to Lights of the Round Table. My name is Susanna, and today we are going to have a special talk about our children. Our children, as you know, are our most prized gift, and they are dependent upon us to help them and protect them. Because they're vulnerable, they need our help. We're going to be talking about this today with our guests who have been fighting this good fight all along on various fronts within their state. Hello, Chelsea, and welcome, Derek. Thank you so much for joining me at Lights of the Round Table.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Susanna.
No problem. My pleasure. So today we're going to talk about the degeneration of our schools and their related ecosystems. So, Chelsea, I've known you for a little bit now, several months. We've been talking about children. You have been attending legislation sessions for the last 8 months, and you were quite upset and disturbed about what you were finding out on the bills that were passing, the school districts. So why don't you give us your 40,000 foot view of what's happening and how you got involved in all of this?
Yeah, and I'll try to be brief because I know I really want to share what we have Derek here for today for the majority of this. But as Susanna said, I've been attending legislation. I've been going to city council meetings and been very involved in what's going on with the schools. And I think that most people know by now across the country that we have a huge push for the LGBTQ plus books and the pornography in our schools. And we're having a hard time getting these books off our shelves. And, you know, I think most people know with this fight between the light and the dark that we keep talking about right now, it is a fight between good and evil. And really a lot of this fight, the reason that it's coming for our kids is, you know, Christ tells us in scripture, liken ourselves unto the children, because they're the most pure and innocent of us all. And they know that if they corrupt the child, they corrupt us all. They can take down entire generations. And part of what's going on with the pornography in these schools is Alfred Kinsey. I don't know if you know much about him, but he was once the great sex researcher of the 1950s. And he actually groomed Hugh Hefner. And he talked about how through pornography, he could desensitize the male and basically systemically take down the American male. And all of our curriculum is based off of his work. I've studied pornography in depth, and it is actually a physical addiction. There are neurophysicists who have done scans of the brain, and they've proven with these brain scans that it lights up the reward center of the brain the same way heroin or cocaine would. And it creates these new neural pathways in the brain from pornography to the reward center. And just like heroin or cocaine, eventually the dose that they're using isn't enough. They need a higher dose or they need a different drug. It's the same with pornography. Eventually they need it more and more, and then they branch off to different types of porn, which is where we get bestiality or, for instance, pedophilia. And Ted Bundy, which was one of our great, most famous, Utah's, notorious killers here, he, right before he was executed, they did an interview and he flat out admit, you know, it all started with pornography. So this really is a battle between light and dark. And I know, Susanna, I told you in part of my studies, they are trying to bring mental health clinics into schools. And they have psychiatrists, and we know through what we've been seeing through the country with science, that we've got doctors and psychiatrists that are on board with this evil. And they are wanting to bring these psychiatrists and doctors into these mental health clinics under this suicide prevention stuff to groom our kids and to be treating and diagnosing our kids. And part of what I told you is that I found that in our state of Utah, they are doing electroconvulsive, which is positive electrodes to the brain to induce grand mal seizures to treat depression in a child. And our Utah state code, it's specifically on a child, also psychosurgery, which is brain surgery and lobotomies for depression. But Utah state code basically states that if a parent refuses this treatment after it's been prescribed, it's not up to the parent. It's up to our Department of Health and Human Services to appoint two fact finders to decide to make the final decision. And after their decision, within 48 hours, your child you'll be forced to sign custody over in their START treatment. So they are systematically coming for the kids and wanting them to become property of the state is what we're seeing. And this is where I met Derek, was in our fight for Here in Orem, I've talked to you a little bit about how we were fighting to split away from our school district and create our own school district where the parents would be in charge, and kind of the fight that we've had with the school district to get the pornography off these shelves, which they just don't want to do. And in that, Derek and I were talking about some of this stuff at his house, and I came to find out that he's quite the famous painter here. He's very humble. He doesn't like to talk about it, but the pictures that you've seen of, you know, Christ hugging that man and Christ with the children, Derek's actually given me this picture. I don't know if you can see that. Help me through this fight, to help me feel like God is with me. And I was at his house and I saw a picture hanging on his wall. And, you know, part of this movement to come for our children is the abortion movement. And, you know, getting rid of our children, getting rid of our brightest light. You know, God says, woe unto you who harm a child. It's better that you cast a millstone around your neck. And this picture was hanging on his wall. And I want Derek to really be the one to talk to you about this picture and what this artwork means and his message to the world with this artwork. I said, I haven't seen this one. And Derek can attest, I immediately just started sobbing. I broke down and started crying when I saw this picture because it meant so much to me. I said, I haven't seen this picture. Why haven't I seen it? And he says, well, they won't print it. And with this abortion movement going on, I can understand how powerful of a picture this is, how much of a threat it is to their movement. I'm glad Derek's here to share this with you.
Certainly. And thank you very much, Derek, for joining us. And for those who don't know who Derek is, your name is Derek Hegsted. You'll have to help me with the pronunciation of your last name, sir.
It's Danish, Hegsted. There's actually a street named Hegsted. It's after the Hogsted, where the hawks roost in Denmark. So you did great.
Okay, good. I'm glad I passed the test. But yes, and you have actually won many awards throughout the years as a painter. I think you are have beautiful. You depict what I would call the classic paintings of the Renaissance and things like that. But your specialty is on the Verdaccio, which I think is a Rembrandt, where the skin becomes almost real. And you have won awards all over the world, many, many awards. I know that your paintings are hanging in some, they have been commissioned and hanging in some of the churches, especially around Utah, you are known. And I think that you have sold many, many, many thousands and thousands of prints. I think I read something like 360,000 images worldwide. And so, wow, what a tribute, sir. But what I love about you and your work that you've been doing is that you have been dedicating these, 14, 15 years teaching kids art in school. And I read a little comment, there's a little quote I want to quote of you that is in your website, and it's called, now for those of you, he's married, has six beautiful children, married for over 35 years now. And there's a quote about him and how he wanted to be remembered. And he says, I wanted my children to know who I serve and why. And I think this has been your mission all throughout. And I would like you to talk a little bit about you, your mission, and how you have been impacting the children in the last few years, especially now through art. And of course, then we'll get through being a council member and activism that you have been partaking in the last few years to rescue kids. Sir, welcome. Well,
thank you. Thank you so much for letting me come up here and be able to share with this. The kids always ask me, you know, what is my classes really about? And I start off with, what is an artist's job? And I couldn't figure out what to say. And then finally, these words started coming to me, and I have these little sayings for the last 13 years. And an artist's job is to beautify the world around so that others may be edified. And when I start to watch how the arts could have been utilized to bear witness of Christ to bear witness as the Savior of the world, and to help us understand what we are here for and how we are here to help each other. Mm-hmm. Well, I started painting Christ's life because it felt right. I worked for New York and Hollywood, illustrating for some of the top writers in the world, and worked for Bantam Books and Bridge Publications in Hollywood. And I got to see all sorts of different things. And I felt like that's not what I wanted to do. And I was there, little tiny Rigby, Idaho. Didn't have an art teacher. They didn't provide one. I just had a man that lived across the river named Bill Smith. Whenever I had an issue, I'd just go over and he'd say, "Oh yeah, you're missing this." "Oh, okay." And he helped me win a scholarship without art lessons. And I was able to go to Ricks College, which is now BYU Idaho. And I had some amazing, amazing professors who you could tell who ran their life, and it was the living Christ. And when you have those type of people who sacrificed a great deal of money so they could sit there and teach us toads to get our stuffing together and make something of ourselves. And Leon Parson, who is one of those amazing people, was a great inspiration. And so I was just painting Christ's life because I needed to get these things out of my head. People go, "Where do you get these paintings from?" And I read my scriptures and I watch a movie. And then I take out the best parts that I've been shown. And then when people go to my website, it's hegstead.com, you can see. And then the poems started showing up and I started writing the poems. My mom was magical with poetry, and I've written children's books, still waiting to illustrate them. And those are the type of things. And so I share these things with these kids. And then I painted Christ with the infant, which is called Gift from God. And I had a friend who my wife, she was one of our dearest friends, and she had 9 miscarriages. And it was just hard. They never had children. And my wife says, "You need to paint this for them." And so I painted Gift from God with Christ and the infant. And for my sister, who had 3 miscarriages. And there's nothing out there like this with an infant. It's a preemie, because people say, "Well, what is this supposed to mean?" And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking it means so many things, because there's an original piece that was from the darkness and the spirit was coming up and it wrapped around the Savior's arms around the child, and that represented the spirit out of the darkness into the light of Christ. And the words, "Cradling the babe, he sweetly sings, glory to you I softly bring. Peace to you I gently say, the pains of earth I hold at bay. God controls the winter's chill, peace be wonder, peace be still." And when I heard that and I wrote it down as fast as I could, it started taking a new meaning of what these children have gone through in the womb, to have their bodies taken from them, because they are here to receive a body so they can continue their progression. This is a gift from our Heavenly Father for us to be able to have a body to do this. And abortion and homosexuality is a direct affront against God and against His sons and daughters to receive that body. And when I start to see where the attitude is coming from, I know exactly what's happening when people are willing to deny the commandments of God to justify their bad behavior. And then now they're willing to deny the existence of God to justify their bad behavior. They've gone from 74% to 68% of active people in churches 6% have turned atheist. And yes, that's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. I have to say that the picture that I received, the Christ that you're talking, holding the child, I mean, the way that you capture the feeling, there's a thousand words running. There's just the message is there. You can see it. You can feel it. How do you capture that? It's definitely a gift of God.
You don't plan. You just film, and you stay as close to the Spirit as you can, so that you remember this isn't yours. This is His, and I am just the servant. When we understand that, like for Journey's End, you can't find my signature. I don't really care if people know who I am. I want to know who their Savior is, because that is what the war is about. The American system was built upon Christ, plain and simple. And this country is not a white country. It's not a black country. It's not a Hispanic, Latino. It's not Chinese country. It is a melting pot of many people that make this country a wonderful place of heritage, of people that have come from all over the world. And we put this together. And when people in this racist garbage starts coming out, people say, oh, you're racist and all this stuff. And they're trying to create chaos. In the words of Glenn Beck, he says, they are trying to create chaos and create a division among the people that should be friends and not enemies. And when you have a government purposely allowing pedophiles to come out of prisons, like Gavin Newsom, allowing these evil pedophiles to come out, and they're preaching of pedophilia, they're saying, what's wrong with them? Oh, you guys are just, you're being an anti-pedite. It's like, you're dang right, I'm an anti-pedite, because we know what Christ said. But we don't have to have Christ tell us that pedophilia is pure satanic. And that's why when I've listened to pedophiles in prisons being interviewed, they said, if you let me go, this is all I think about. And you need to turn me into a eunuch, because this is all I think about. And I would never turn me loose. Pedophiles are saying this, okay? Yeah. So why is Gavin Newsom letting thousands of these go out, not even spending a year in prison? And they're putting it upon the innocence of this country to create chaos. We know who they are. I know who they are, and I know what they're doing. So that's why I'm giving these prints to Preborn and to any other place that wants to have these prints. They don't have to say, put my name in. I couldn't give a crap whether or not they know who I am. They need to, if this will save a baby, if this will save the condemnation of a girl that will allow her baby to be murdered this way, and it is murder. No man is saved through ignorance. If this can save a girl from being damned this way, and a baby, one of my brothers and sisters to be tortured in such a way to be ripped apart, then have it. Do whatever you need to, because that's what I did this for. Time is not about money. Time is about the saving of the souls in every facet, not just the babies.